Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Thanks to Pine Cove Summer Camps for supporting the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. You guys, the Ivy kids are going to camp. They love Pine Cove. We have been sending our kids to Pine Cove for years and years and years. And here's why. Because we trust Pine Cove. We trust their counselors. We trust their mission. And it is such a fun experience for my kids. Check out pinecove.com and use the code HAPPYHOUR250 for $250 off a first-time overnight youth camp registration. That's pinecove.com. Use the code HAPPYHOUR250. Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey friends, welcome to the Happy Hour. I'm your host, Jamie, and we have a fun show today because Carlos Whitaker is on the mic with me. Carlos has been on the show before. You guys love him and you love following him. I know you love following him because everyone's following him. Today, we have a really great conversation. In fact, Carlos had a book that released yesterday called How to Human, Three Ways to Share Life Beyond What Distracts, Divides, and Disconnects Us. And I loved having this conversation with today because we got to dive into what does it mean for us to go back to what is in our core. And I love and value the way Carlos comes at this because he is very upfront. Like, I'm a Jesus follower. I believe Jesus is God. I believe he was died, crucified, raised again, all the things. Yet he's like, we can be better humans even if you only believe that Jesus was a good man. And Carlos does that in his interview today with me. He does that in a conversation with this book. He does that online through his Instagram. Carlos is a leader for us of saying, hey, how do we treat people with care and compassion that they deserve? You're going to love this conversation today. Don't forget, his book came out yesterday, How to Human. I've read it. Go get it. It's a full of stories. They're going to really push you back into what I think. And I think what Carlos would think, too, is like loving God and loving people better. So here is my conversation with Carlos Whitaker. Carlos Whitaker, welcome back to the Happy Hour.
Well, thank you, Jamie Ivey.
This seems like it's going to be like a yearly thing. The last time you were on was May of 2021.
Oh, really?
That feels like three lifetimes ago.
That does. Like, let's just be honest. That feels like four freaking ever ago.
It does. I laughed in your book when you said something like, ask anyone, say the year 2020, and what is their response? And I was like,
oh, yeah.
That's triggered. How I feel when I talk about anything past March of 2020. I'm like, oh, wow. What was that?
I know. I feel like I think everyone's just finally like kind of pulling their head out of a hole, looking around, going like, okay, what just happened?
I know. You know, I do find it interesting. When I read that in your book, it got me thinking what I would say about 2022, because here we are, January 2023, we're turning over a new leaf, all the things.
Yeah.
And I feel like 2022 might be the first year that I don't go, oh my gosh, that was a beatdown. Do you feel the same way?
I feel the same way. I mean, obviously, you know, people's circumstances are going to, you know, be able to guide that statement or whatever is that they say. But I think like collectively,
that's what I mean,
collectively as humanity, I think we'd be like, you know what? It was okay.
Yeah.
Like we didn't get another. It felt like 2021 was surprisingly rough, you know?
Uh-huh.
So
I
whereas 2022 was like, okay, like we just kind of did it. Like, hey.
Exactly. I know.
Awesome.
Like everybody kind of holds your breath. Here we go.
Yeah. I agree.
I found that so interesting as I was reading your book, and we're just jumping in because that's how we're rolling here today, is that 2020 did feel that way for me, because collectively is the key word. Because I could say to you, like, 2010 was one of the hardest years of my life. Maybe not for you, though, but it was for me, you know, just some personal circumstances. But then 2020 was just like, oh my gosh, everybody's going through the same collective hardship. And maybe for the first time in you and I's lifetime, I know that like my grandparents have passed, but I would imagine they would have years too, where they could say like, oh no, you weren't here in, you know, during the Great Depression and stuff. But for us in our generation, I do feel like it was a year that we all just go, wow, we collectively hurt together. And you I don't know how to describe this without making you feel weird, okay? So I'm going to try real quick.
Okay.
You were one of the people that almost rose. This sounds so weird about to say. I didn't even write this down. Where is this coming from? You almost like rose out of the ashes as this leader for people to look to that we could go, okay, collectively this year feels pretty crappy. But you know what? Carlos is offering something else. And I don't know how you take that. And I know that you know that about yourself. Can you talk to me just for a second of where did that Carlos come from? It wasn't a new Carlos by any means. I don't want to make it sound like that.
Sure. No.
But it rose up in that season that was such a help for your followers online. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how that rose up? And I don't know if it was something you talked about in your book about posting something and then a sweet person reposting it and it just went viral. And I don't know if it was that moment. So I wanted you to tell me where did that come from?
Yeah. Great. You're always so good with your questions. Oh. That is, you know, I feel, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'm hopping along 2019, early 2020, things are good. You know, like I've got, you know, my Instagram platform is helping feed my family. I'm getting booked for events. People are buying my books. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is sweet. Like, it's fine. Like, Carlos is helping people live their best life, whatever. And then, you know, and then 2022 hit and, or excuse me, 2020 hit. And I just remember, and I talk about this in my book, but I just remember feeling when the Ahmaud Arbery shooting happened, feeling this sense of like, oh my gosh, like my primarily white evangelical conservative audience may not be ready for me to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like sitting at my desk, looking at my phone with the camera open, just like recording. I hit record because I was like, I need to say something. But I just didn't say anything for like an hour. I delete it. And then I try to say something, I delete it. And I just remember thinking like, is this the time? Like, mm-hmm. is this when I'm supposed to rise to start speaking on maybe some harder things? Not that I hadn't spoken on hard things before, but this was just different, right? So I posted it, yeah. And the video was how white people can help their black friends in this moment. And I don't know. I think I may have lost one third of my Instagram followers in 24 hours. And that was when, Jamie, that I freaked out. And to be honest with you, the next morning when I woke up and I saw like 7,000 followers were gone, I went and I hit delete on the video. Like I literally was like, I'm out, Lord. Like this was a mistake. I've lost my career. So I went and hit delete. But when I hit delete, literally Instagram had a little pop-up that said, are you sure? Mm. And I remember thinking like, Holy crap, is this Holy Spirit? Just like, I'd never seen that pop-up before. I just remember being like, no, like, you know, and God was like, no, like it's okay. Like the people that need to come are going to come. And so I said, you know, whatever, I didn't delete it. And that began the moment for me where I realized that I could have hard conversations in grace-filled ways. And a lot of people that maybe were triggered by other people talking about it weren't triggered by me talking mm-hmm. about it. I was talking about my experience as a black man in America in ways that were making white people that may have been triggered by other people. They were okay with me talking about it. And mm-hmm. I thought, huh. So then I started, you know, I remember I started talking about COVID and I started talking about, you know, really everything that was hard that came. And people would come to me and say, Carlos, like I've been waiting. It took you 2 days to write about this, but I've been waiting for your words. Mm. And because your words are the words that I feel like give me words. Mm. And Jamie, I don't know, man. I just leaned in and said, okay, well, Lord, apparently this is kind of the direction that you're going to have me go. And my followers, you know, went from, I mean, I'd say probably 99% Christians to maybe 70%. You know, they're 30% of non-Christians started following me in my Instagram page. And then it got to 40%. And then next thing you know, I'm speaking to like everybody mm-hmm. and everyone's paying attention. And what you know, kind of how you explain it, like, yeah, there was this Carlos that just kind of rose like, mm-hmm. and I just remember thinking, okay, Lord, I've done a lot of great things in my life. I feel proud of what I've done. Mm-hmm. But I feel like right now, here I am 48 years old, and I'm just now stepping into the fullness of mm-hmm. what you've created me to do. And I think I was created for such a time as this. And And I'm just now getting started. So yeah, it's been crazy. It's been fun. But it's been hard too. And, it's a lot of responsibility, but I can't imagine doing anything else or talking about anything else.
Well, there's a whole conversation that I'd love to have with you that we're not going to have today about stepping into where you feel you're supposed to be at 48. That is so encouraging to people. And I want everyone to not miss that, because so many times we're like, I'm 25. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh,
well, listen, sit back, sweet child, because you've got a while.
Yeah.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here, and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You mentioned it. You said that was a lot of responsibility. And this is what I want to ask you is, it is a lot of responsibility. And I want to ask you, how do you carry that weight? Because I would imagine that it does feel weighty, and you're trying to bring hope. And you released a book yesterday, How to Human. It's about hope, and we're going to talk about it. But how do you handle the weightiness of that?
Yeah, I think I handled it poorly at the beginning I think sometimes to handle weightiness, you just have to pick it up and you just have to see how heavy it is, and you have to drop it if it's too heavy, and you have to say, okay, what am I going to do? I mean, I think of it like if I go to the gym and the first time I try to pick up a 100-pound sandbag and I picked it up and I was like, I can't do this. But my trainer came over and he's like, actually, if you lock your fingers together and if you use your hips and if you pull it this way. Now, what I could have done is I could have dropped it and been like, I can't, give me the 50-pound bag. And I just would have kept on the 50-pound bag. But when he came and he showed me how to do it, and then I did it, I was like, holy crap, I can throw a 100-pound bag over my shoulder. And so it was the same thing. So when I first picked it up, it was heavy and I dropped it. And I hurt people's feelings, and I said some things I shouldn't say, and I just kept picking it back up. I was like, well, what if I hold it this way? What if I hold it this way? And next thing you know, I was like, oh, no, I can hold this. Not only can I hold this, but I can show other people how to hold this. Mm. And that's really kind of what happened, you know? I think by like the summer, late summer of 2020, when I was primarily teaching on race in America on my Instagram page, like it kind of just became a thing that people were coming to. And, you know, my Instagram followers went from, you know, 25,000 to 15,000 to 50,000 to 60,000 to and then suddenly like these, like, you know, celebrities are posting my things that don't, you know, just my talks. And I suddenly was like, okay, like I can hold this. I'm holding this well. Lord. And it really was, it was a lot of Lord every morning, like, Holy Spirit, how do I address the topic at hand? And so, you know, since then, it's what I do in the mornings after I spend time with the Lord and spend time in the Word. I literally open up Twitter and I look to like trending topics and what are people feeling pain about this day? What is the pain point that humanity feels? And let's press in and let's talk about it. And so that's
and
what I do.
And then you just have to pick one, because there's 1,000.
Literally, there's 1,000.
Like, Lord, you know, help me pick one pain point.
I know. I mean, listen, Jamie. Yesterday, I posted on my Instagram account, So, you know, like it was just a little reel, 30-second reel about how like we can all live 15-second Hallmark movies every day. It's all you got to do is show somebody you love them in an unexpected way. That's what a Hallmark movie is. Sprinkle. It was like the most lighthearted. I'm telling you, like, I was like, I mean, I put Christmas music behind this. Supposed to make people, somehow, people were offended. Like, somehow, people got offended. And I'm like, this is, you know, I mean, welcome to just post-2020 humanity. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, people get offended by everything. But, yeah, I just feel like I am just now barely stepping into, I think, what, you know, the next decade of my life. This is what I want to do. This is a space I want to be in. Like I speak now to probably 80% secular corporate audiences when I'm out on the road. Like I used to be the Sunday church sermon guy, and I still am. There's a couple churches that'll still have me. But I'm mostly speaking to non-faith-based corporate culture. And you know, I feel built for this season. Mm-hmm. I feel built for now. These people are coming to my book table afterwards in tears, wanting to know more. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, sweet. Like, I feel more like a missionary now than I ever have. And so I'm having a blast, literally, that's the time in my life.
I love it. And it makes me think that, you know, your whole book is How to Human. And you mentioned just a minute ago that, like, you had to, like, make some mistakes and hurt some people's feelings at the beginning and figure this out. And to me, that's how to human. Like, we're going to do this, and we've got to learn how to do this together. You said when you were on my show in May of 2021, you said we've got to learn to not stand on issues, but walk with people. And that's what I think this is about. And, you know, I find it intriguing, Carlos, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, is that I hope I don't get in trouble here. More secular organizations are wanting to have you come in and talk about how do we care for people and be nice to people and live in unity with people. Maybe churches. I whispered it.
You said it so kindly and so nicely, but let me say it. Then people can email me or DM me. But I literally have been uninvited. When I started talking about racism in America, I was uninvited by the majority of evangelical churches that would normally have me. And I was invited by secular corporate organizations that wanted to lean into this conversation. And Jamie, it broke me. Mm-hmm. I was pissed. I was angry. I love the church. I am a Holy Spirit filled, blood of the cross, power of the resurrection Christian, Jesus following dude. And my heart broke that suddenly, like, I mean, I was having conversations with pastors that were like, well, like, I mean, I'd love for you to come and talk, but like, there's just some people that follow you on Instagram and they feel like you're, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so, so there's that. But here's the other side. Okay. Here's the growth. Here's the healing. Since then, since summer 2020, and since angry church Carlos was like bitter and angry at the church, I got to the space where I understood why. And listen, churches, like the way we've set them up in America, you got to have a tithe to pay your mortgage of your building, to pay your staff. We've handcuffed ourselves up, right? And so I understand that, you know, there's some big givers. I went to a church, a friend of mine in fall of 2020 spoke on the Ethiopian eunuch and how Philip went and found this black man who's from Ethiopia that was a castrated black man because he was a eunuch, right? So he was like a sexual deviant and a racial deviant. So I tell this story of how, listen, we've got to walk up to people that don't look like us, think like us, love like us, and, you know, don't stand on issues, but walk with people. The five biggest givers at my friend's church bounced, like they left. And I felt horrible. Like, I felt horrible. But at the same time, he just looked at me. He's like, if they can't handle this, if they can't handle this, like, I don't want them in my church. Now, the beautiful thing is, over the last 2 years, I've seen more and more of those spaces that I was uninvited from begin to invite me back in, begin to allow me to come in. And again, it's not like I'm coming in and I'm like, you know, wearing a Black Lives Matter sweatshirt and like picketing out front. Like, no, like, I'm just going to come in and say, listen, like, I feel like the last 2 years have set us up as the evangelical church. We are set up in the most perfect way to talk about how to love people that are unseen, how to be justice, how to do these things. And, you know, yes, corporate America, the secular spaces, we're way quicker to that conversation than the evangelical space was. But you know what? Like I've done my therapy. I've done some inner healing. I've done some work. And me and the church, I still run camera five at my church here in Nashville, Tennessee. Every Sunday morning you come in, it's a big smoke and haze, lights, a lot of nationalist Christians that go to my church. A lot that aren't, but a lot are, but I love them. I'm going to walk with them. If I'm going to be the one saying, don't stand on issues, walk with people, then I got to be the one running camera five in a place that sometimes makes me uncomfortable. And so, yeah, so just to your point, listen, sorry, I went off a little bit there, but
no,
you're right.
It.
And I'm glad that you brought that up.
And I think to your point too, we've seen a lot of progression in the last, 2 years, and hopefully we're going to continue to see that within church and North American church on these issues. Now, your book, it came out yesterday. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
It is one of those books that I just wanted to keep reading. You're a great storyteller. And you know what? In case anyone's nervous, let me just tell them. You say up front in your book, like, I'm a Jesus lover. Jesus is the Son of God, fully man, fully God, died on a cross, all the things. And I love that this is you, Carlos, because you're like, here's what I believe, but you don't have to believe that to treat people well. And that's what you're standing on. So talk to me about how to human.
Yes. So first and foremost, how to human, three ways to share life beyond what distracts, divides, and disconnects us, right? So I didn't write the subtitle. As anyone that's written a book, that's the editor's job. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I think that's what the book's about. So cool. Yeah, sure. But I tell people again, and a lot of people that follow me on my socials, they don't have the same faith I do. And but they follow me because they feel like I give them good resources on how to human. And I'm using human as a verb here. But you don't have to be an evangelical Christian to read this book. I use Jesus as the example of the greatest human to ever walk the face of the earth. I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe that he died and rose again. You can just believe he was a historical figure and he still wins the human of the millennium
human of the
award
ever.
Or whatever,
yeah.
Of the ever award, right? And so we take his life and take his stories and I divided it into three sections. Again, you don't even have to buy the book. This is how you human. Be human, see humans, and free humans.
You want to buy the book, guys. Trust me, okay?
Yeah, okay. You want to. But be human, see humans, free humans. That's it over and over. Be human, see humans, free humans. Be fully who God made you to be, okay? If you've got like Italian DNA in you and you've never made homemade pasta, what the freak are you doing?
Let's go.
Go to the store right now and make some pasta. Find those things inside of you that you were created to be. If you're from the South and you love sweet tea and country music, I mean, like, love sweet tea. Be so loud about those things. Be who God created you to be. But then see humans, right? Like, see those around us that are invisible. And then it's not enough just to see them, but free them. And I start breaking it down in the book, like, how we can do that in a responsible and, I think, effective way. I'm really excited about the book. I feel like, as I've been traveling, like more and more spaces I go to, people are just tired of hating each other. Mm-hmm. People are tired of being told to hate each other. Yes, there's still loud voices in those spaces telling you that this person's the enemy. And I'm here to say, no, actually, like, we can actually do this together. We can come together and do this human thing right again. So I am not the expert on humanity in the book. Jesus is. I just start pulling some ideas from his life.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Thanks to Pine Cove Summer Camps for supporting the Happy Hour. I know that 2023 has only just begun, but this is actually the perfect time to start thinking about your kids' summer plans. My kids have loved their camp experience at Pine Cove, and here's why. Pine Cove Camps offers a safe place of belonging and community. It's a safe environment where campers often say that they felt free to be themselves without judgment for the first time. Campers have community as well as a shared foundation of gospel truth. Pine Cove Camps is a Christ-centered, others-focused, and seriously fun camp with over 50 years of experience. Every kid is going to hear the gospel. They're going to see it lived out. Their college summer staff are amazing Christian role models that you will definitely want your kids to be around. Start a new summer tradition for your child at Pine Cove this summer with camp locations in Texas, Georgia, and South Carolina. check out pinecove.com. Use the code HAPPYHOUR250 for $250 off a first-time overnight youth camp registration.
You know, you open up the book with a really beautiful story that I think kind of encompasses this whole idea. And you're a young boy getting your hair cut, and you can tell the story if you would like to tell it. It's in the early in the book. But I thought that starting off the book with that story was so beautiful because it did say, this is what we were created to do. So can you tell us that story?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, I just feel like deep down at the core, maybe deeper for some people than others, but we were all created as humans to like help each other. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I tell a story of when I had my Gary Coleman Afro. If you know me, I
would
no
love to
now.
See a picture of this too.
Yes. Okay. Maybe I can send you one. but I had my little Gary Coleman Afro part. My mom would literally part it like different strokes. Like I'd have one little mini Afro on the right side of my head and then a big one on the top. And anyway, so I'd go get my haircut, at this barber and at North DeKalb Mall. And I remember sitting there, and it was actually a terrifying experience for me. Like I called my mom when I was writing the book going, hey, can you help me unpack this and remember this? And I just will never forget seeing this, hearing screaming outside the doors of the barbershop in the mall, and then seeing a man sprint by holding a kid. And the kids, maybe I'm making it up in my head if I remember, but I remember the kid looking terrified. And maybe I remember that because his mom came next running, looking terrified. And then I just remember seeing other people running by the window. And there were these men that were running by the window. Not now I know, but chasing the guy that was kidnapping this kid. And then my barber dropped his clippers. And he was a really heavy set guy. And I just remember him tearing out the door, taking off right. And my mom kind of saying, Carlitos, come here, Carlitos, come here. And kind of holding me because I was, shaking. And then, we walked out and the cops caught the bad guy. They were interviewing all the people that helped. Apparently they tackled the dude. But I remember, I remember specifically, obviously over the last 2 years, I remember it even more now as I'm the why behind it. But I remember these people that chased him down, these two young, skinny, redneck looking dudes, with mullets and Dukes of Hazzard dudes. Mm-hmm. And then there was a older, maybe 50-year-old black man with moles on his neck. He looked like my uncle Denisio. I remember him. And I just remember looking at all the different versions of people that chased after the bad guy. And now hindsight being 2020, we hate that word. I know I triggered more people when I said that, but hindsight being that, now I look and I think nobody before they started running after the bad guy, nobody was hey, before we chase this guy together, can we make sure we align with our theological convictions and our political opinions? And there wasn't a meeting. Everybody just dropped what they were doing and chased after to rescue this boy. And I start off the book that way because I want everyone to know that it is in us. It is right there. It is actually a reaction. You go back to September 11th, same thing, right? September 11th, our reaction in 2001, our reaction wasn't to pull out phones that we I don't think we even had them at that point. Maybe I had a BlackBerry. I can't remember what it was. But our reaction wasn't when we saw the tragedy, to pull out our devices and write a summary as to who we think we need to blame. No, our reaction was to call each other. Hey, how are you feeling? Did you know someone in New York? How's it? We were just checking on each other. So it's actually an instinct, a human instinct and a reaction and a reflex almost. When you hit your knee at the doctor's and it pops up, it is inside of all of us. And so I wanted to start off the book with that story because I need everybody to know that everybody, no matter who they vote for or what they believe in their faith, we're all human at the core and we all have this inside us because I believe that we were all created in the image of God who is a rescuer. And that's really built inside of us all.
You know, I loved the reason I wanted you to tell that story because I loved the way that it set up the entire book. And it just really, was this visual that I could see myself and I could see your barber running. I could see the clippers falling down. I could see you running to your mom.
Yeah.
And you talk about he came back and he was all sweaty. I could see that. And it made me think, man, there are so many issues on the table in our country, particularly in America, where people think, well, I don't know if I can side with you because like I am like pro-life, but I don't know how pro-life you are. And so then we get all caught up and then we don't like them. And then we won't listen to anything that they say because we don't like that one thing that they said. And it was so very important. Yep. And I appreciate it so much how you started that book. And I think this is going to be a really great, I wanted to say resource, but even more than that, a reminder almost. Like, because I believe, like you said, like we have this in us. And so it is just a reminder. And for those that are our age and older, we remember a day where we didn't have a smartphone and where we couldn't see everyone's hot take within seconds of something happening, you know, or hear everyone's opinion. And so I think it's really beautiful. Carlos, you mentioned earlier that you're 48. You're heading into what you think is like exactly where God has put you. You're also in some transition seasons. You've got teenagers. I have teenagers as well. And it's this weird spot in our life that we get to where our teenagers are getting older and getting close to leaving us, and our parents are getting older and getting sick. And it's this weird dynamic. And you've been really open with your social media followers about your dad's dementia and what he's been walking through. I would just love to hear from you on a personal level, how does that look like for you off of Instagram, walking with your dad and your kids and your wife and your family through a really difficult stage of life?
Yeah, you know, it is. It's a heavier stage of life now than I've ever experienced. Yes, I've been through heavy things. Mm-hmm. We all have been through heavy things. If you're 7 years old listening to this podcast, you've been through heavy things. But this season of life just feels weightier, right? It just feels like meatier. And yeah, you know, like it's a blessing at the same time. So my dad has pretty aggressive dementia. I don't know if he completely remembers who I am until I can know that he remembers who I am. Right. And then I see his eyes almost, his pupils get a little bigger and it's like, oh, there you are. Mm. It's been so difficult. My dad is like my hero. He's a great man of faith, is just impacted so many people's lives. And, but I think, you know, my dad is kind of so far gone into his dementia that now it's about my mom. Now it's about, you know, taking care of my mom, who's taking care of my dad. But my mom's, you know, she's just turned 70. And so she's taking care of her 82-year-old husband. Yep, he kind of robbed the cradle, FYI. But good for him, because I don't know if he had an 82-year-old wife, how would be going
how she'd
right
be
now.
Able to take care of him, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But so it's a lot of, I call my mom more than I've ever called my mom. I mean, I called my mom more than ever called my mom. Like, I talk to her every day. I FaceTime her every day. I need her to let her know that, hey, like, whatever you need, like, how I'm helping them, you know, financially more than I've ever, you know, like, suddenly, like, I'm the caretaker. And I'm still kind of taking care of these knucklehead teenagers that are, you know, they look like fully functioning adults, but there's some crooked things that I'm trying to straighten up, and, you know, and they're, you know, dating and about, you know, maybe an engagement in the next year. And it's such a full, weighty season. I'm trying not to miss any of it because it is so sweet.
Yeah.
And yes, it's tragic with what's happening with my father, but listen, like every single one of us listening to this, like all of our parents are going to die. All of us are going to die. Everyone's listening to this podcast is going to die.
100%.
And so like, I just, no one's ever got out of it besides Jesus. And so like, I just am like, hey, let me document this stuff. Let me talk about this stuff. And gosh, the amount of people that are just so grateful.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Carlos, like my father or my aunt or my grandpa, this reminds me of this or that. It's just, people are lonely. And the more vulnerable I am, the more authentic I am. I just think, again, it's the whole how to human thing. It's seeing people. It's allowing people to feel seen when they feel so alone in their parents' dementia or grandparents' dementia. And then suddenly they see someone on their phone that's like, hey, listen, like this sucks and I'm crying and this hurts. Oh man, it helps people feel seen. And that's really what I'm trying to do. So,
well, I'm grateful for you. And I know that we already talked about it, that it is a burden letting people into your personal life. And I'm sure that you would say the same thing that I always say is like, you let us see what we see. And there's a million things behind the scenes that we don't see.
Sure.
But I am grateful because I do know the help that you're doing. And it's interesting that you said that about your mom, because when my grandfather, it wasn't dementia, but Parkinson's, and he was really sick for many, many years. And it is, the caregivers are really this kind of unseen, very lonely group of people that oftentimes we care so much, rightly so, for the person who is sick or whatever, and then forget like, oh, there's someone that lives here 24/7 that's dealing with this. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that as well.
24/7.
24/7.
Love the caretakers. Find them. Love them. Send them a Starbucks card. They need it.
Carlos, I didn't plan on asking you this, but I would love to hear. 2023, this is January 25th that we're airing. Your book came out yesterday. I'm so excited for everyone to get that. What is the most exciting thing you're looking forward to this year?
You know, here's a little sneak peek for the Happy Hour audience. I'm excited because I've got another book that I'm actually currently writing. Like, while I literally as we record this podcast, you know, I haven't even released my next book. When people hear it, it'll be out yesterday. But I'm actually working on the next thing. And I am as excited as I am about How to Human. Let me just go ahead and give a little sneak peek. The next book, I basically did an experiment on how to, so it's almost like a How to Human experiment. And I disappeared for 9 weeks off of everything, off of all the socials, off of my phone. And I just told everyone that I was taking a sabbatical, quote unquote.
I remember,
and
yes.
I actually did something that is going to blow everyone's minds for those 9 weeks. And I can't wait for people to find it. But that's the next book that I'm writing about.
Now you, this is like the largest cliffhanger I've ever been hanging on, just so you know.
I love it. So this is what we'll do.
My brain is like, what did he do?
Oh, yeah. When we hit stop on the recording, I'll tell you, but nobody else can know.
Okay, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right, Carlos, I'd love to know, what are you reading these days?
Jamie wants to know. We want to know what you're reading.
The Benedict Option, okay?
Okay.
By Rod Dreher, I think is his last name. And so he kind of goes into like the Benedictine practice, and he's way more conservative than I am, but I love to read people like that. And so I like this book because he's making me think about some beliefs that I struggle with sometimes. So I just finished this one. It's called The Lonely Century.
Okay.
How to restore human connection in a world that's pulling us apart. We are the most connected we have ever been. And literally studies show that we are the loneliest we've ever been. So this book right here, mind blowing. You can, there's an NPR podcast where I first heard about it. And so I'm sure if you Google it, you find it, but this is an incredible book.
You know, I love that you're talking about that. I've heard recently another podcast talking about that as well. And we're not going to talk about this because we don't have time. But it just makes me think every time I hear these, like you're reading that book and you know, the stat that you just said, I always just think like, do we recover from this or is this like a new normal? That's where I get like, and we're raising teenagers who have always known this. And then COVID happened where everyone, it's just like, what's life going to look like when we're long gone and our kids have kids? I don't even want to know. But anyhow, okay, you did say something. You said you were watching Welcome to Wrexham.
Yes.
I haven't seen it, but I want to. It's worth it. You love it?
It is worth it. It is awesome. First of all, I'm a huge soccer fan.
Right.
Like,
I know that about you.
Season tickets to Nashville Soccer Club. Like World Cup nonstop. But what it did, this is the biggest blessing that show did for me, is it took everything I love about soccer and turn it into a story that my wife loves.
Aww.
And so now my wife gets it. And now she's like, hey, when we go back to England, like maybe we can like go to Wrexham. And I was like, yes, maybe we can, you know? So I love it.
I love it. I've heard great things about it. Well, Carlos, I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing. And I'm excited about your next decade. I do too see that coming just like where you're supposed to be. Let's go. Let's do this. You guys, this book, How to Human, came out yesterday. You can get it wherever you buy books.
Yep.
Carlos Whitaker, grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
All right, you guys, I just need you to know that after we stopped recording, Carlos told me the insider scoop to what the other project he was working on, and my jaw was on the ground. I'm getting and feel like I know something that I want to tell you, but I can't. I'm just saying it's going to be great. If you don't follow Carlos on Instagram, go follow him because he really just is a dealer of hope. He is passing out hope left and right. If you haven't listened to his podcast, go check that out as well. It's called Human Hope, and he's got tons of episodes up that I think you're going to really enjoy as well. He's got other books he's released. He's been on the Happy Hour before. It was a real joy to talk with him again today. The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey is a production of Ivey Media Podcast. Executive produced by Jamie Ivey, produced by Lindsay Sweeney, edited by Angie Elkins, art by Jen Jett Barrett, original music by Matt Graham, and I'm your host, Jamie. Have a happy hour with a friend.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.